provider, protector, leader, ruler, Lord, and reigning King of all the universe. He is light, love, longevity, and Lord. He is goodness, kindness, gentleness, and God. He is holy, righteousness, mighty, powerful, and pure. His ways are right. His world is eternal. He is unchanging, and his mind is on me. He is my Redeemer, Savior, Guide, Peace, Joy, Comforter, and Lord. He will never leave me, forsake me, mislead me, forget me, and never cancel my appointment in his appointment book. When I fall, he lifts me up. When I fail, he forgives. When I am weak, he is strong. When I am lost, he is the way. When I am afraid, he is my courage. When I stumble, he steadies me. When I am hurt, he heals me. When I am broken, he mends me. When I am blind, he leads me. When I am hungry, he feeds me. When I face trials, he is with me. When I face persecution, he steals me. When I face problems, he comforts me. When I face loss, he provides for me. When I face death, he carries me home. When he is faithful, I am his, he is mine. He said it, and that settles it. God is in control. I am on his side. That means all is well with my soul. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Brother Billy. Absolutely.
He's just been there in my every need, even though I'm out there. Well, that's part of everybody's Walmart.
Oh, me. She went skating in Walmart. God is our fortress. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. He sent his angel to grab you up. Amen. Praise God. All right. Sharing time. Praise God.
But I was sitting at my desk one day at work, and I've got one of the best jobs in the world. It took the Lord 27 and a half years before he gave it to me, but he finally did. But every day at school, we have chapel. And on Fridays, we have extended chapel, and that's when they just let loose, and we just have church. But I was sitting there, and there was a recitation on the screen about what he just said. And it went on and on. And this guy, he had a Pentecostal drawl. And I mean, he was just saying all this. And I want you to picture a sanctuary about this size. And it's full of 96 kids. They range from age 3 to 11th grade, which I think is 16. And this just went on and on for about 5 minutes, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but I got to get up and go see. So I'm going in, and I'm standing in there, and it's just, the Spirit is just so strong in there. And let me tell you, when kids worship God, they worship God. Yeah. And then all the kids, when this was all over, they all sat down, and right there on the front row was 1 3-year-old, and a hand went up, and she said, I believe every bit of that. And I tell you, everybody in there was crying when a 3-year-old says, I believe every bit of that. And I thought, you know, if only adults could do that. Yeah. But it was awesome.
Yeah. Woo. Praise God. You going to do something? Okay. I believe we got a special coming around.
I want everybody to get back. Thank you. We got so many cords here. It's a good sign when we got all these microphones and stuff up here. Unless you start hitting them with your head. Yes, sir, bro. Let it rip. Pour it on. Pour it on, Lord.
Lord, I pray, Lord God, that you bless this man tonight as you always do. Lord, you fill him with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you touch the coals and the altar to his lips, and what comes out of his lips, would that be that of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, that's right.
And Lord, that he changed the Lord, that you give him.
That's right.
And what he brings, Lord, forth is what has come from the power of the Spirit of God. Let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Get your Bibles out. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to finish up where we started last week. I've been praying about this thing, and I honestly didn't know where to go next week. I know I've got a whole bunch of stuff in my head and been working on a whole bunch of stuff, but I actually didn't know exactly where to go with it. And today in my office, I believe the Lord showed me. So anybody got any old wineskins? Anybody got any old wine? You know, old wineskins are made out of animal skins. They weren't necessarily leather. They were skin. That's right. That's right. Anybody got new wine? next week, we're talking about putting new wine in old wineskins. Amen. So get some people out here, man. Get people to come on with you to church. It's awesome. Good things are happening. Amen. Look, it's fine. Tell them good things are happening. Amen. How about that? The praise and worship today was just awesome, wasn't it? I mean, it was just absolutely awesome. And each week, you see development in the musicians and stepping out and doing things different. And we got more musicians coming up the plate. So it's awesome. I'm excited about what God's doing. And so we just got to remember that God's bringing out some new wineskins. Amen. And be ready for it, okay? Be ready. All right, get your Bible out. I'm not sure where to even start. So we're going to start at Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. We serve an awesome, on-time God. It's like a new Sunday school class that the Lord gave Linda. With having everybody together, that's new wineskins. It's something awesome. And when I saw it, it just floored me. I just thought it was awesome. This Sunday night with the youth and what they've done back there is just awesome. If you've never gone back there and looked at the youth portion of the back of that church, go back there and look. I mean, they're fixed up. They got bean bags and they got a television and they got DVD player and I mean, they can do anything they want to back there. Even when they got some air hockey table back there. There's all kinds of things back there. So it's set up for the youth, and or just check some stuff out. Check it out. It's good stuff. Ezekiel chapter 37. You don't have to stand. You can stay. You can stay seated. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of a valley which was full of bones. It was in Edward, North Carolina. It was also in Beaufort County. It was in Craven County. It was in Pitt County. There's all kinds of places this valley can represent. But it definitely can represent your own life. And caused me to pass them about, round about, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Very dry means that they weren't just dry, not just for the meat and the sinews and stuff on the outside. Not only was that dried up, but the marrow. Or the marrow, or however you want to say it. The marrow within it was dried up. These bones were used good for nothing but to use as weapons or to use to utensils. There was nothing else for these. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, or speak the word to them, and say unto them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Y'all say it, hip bone connected, and the knee bone connected to the leg bone, however that goes. Okay. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Wow. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off from our parts. In other words, yesterday is so far behind us, we can't even see it or sense it anymore. Wow. And you shall know, therefore prophesy and say to him, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, whom I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, saith the Lord. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I know, God, that you're a powerful God. You're a mighty God. You're an on-time God. And I know, Lord, that you told us in your word that in one day you'd raise up Israel again, and you did. And Father, 1948, Israel, this prophecy became true, and Israel is a great nation. It's a great army. And next to the United States is one of the most powerful armies in the entire world to be such a small army. I ask you right now, Father, to touch and to anoint us, God. And know, Lord, it's not just prophesying about Israel, but it's prophesying about us and about what you want to do with us. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to help us see, to know, to understand, to feel your spirit, to feel your anointing, and to know that you're not through with us yet. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, look at somebody and say, he ain't through with us yet. Nah. Matter of fact, he's just getting started. Amen? Just getting started. Forget about your age. Forget about your IQ. Forget about your background. Just know this. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It doesn't matter where you're from or where what's going on in your life now. What counts is where God wants to take you. Amen? God's got something special for us. Amen? But you know, we talked about last week, life is a continuous effort. It's a continual struggle. And I've seen some people that went through some awful struggles last year. And I've even heard some people say it's the hardest year that they'd ever been through, which leads me to believe that if last year was their hardest, look out, because this year is going to be a whole lot better. Amen? I heard people say, well, if last year's an indication of this year, I'm not sure if I want to step into this year. Look at it this way. Last year, you went ahead and got the hard stuff out of the way. The good stuff's coming. Look at somebody and tell them the good stuff's coming. The good stuff's coming. Remember, when God looked and saw, when Jesus saw these people, he didn't just say lay down and call it quits. He said, take up thy bed and walk. Face the wall and shout. Face that giant who brags about his ability and say, you come at me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield. But I am come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies whom thou hast defied. Today, I will take your head off your shoulders and I will feed your carcass to the beasts of the field. God wants us to know that He's not through with us yet. Amen? I was listening this morning as we were singing and as we were having communion and as the people were worshiping, and I saw it. I could see the bones rumbling. I could see the sinews coming on bones. I could see bones starting to get back together, and I could see flesh coming on them. And I honestly believe with all my heart, this year is our year. We're going to see something special. God is not through with us yet. God's just getting started. Yes, He's just getting started. Now, so here's the struggle. I'm going to talk about these few things, and then we're going to pray. All right? Won't keep you long, I don't think. Number one, we talked about this. Two things we talked about last week. Number one, struggle. How many's ever had a struggle? If you got a struggle, number one, that means that life is still in you. God sees your potential. I mean, the devil sees your potential. He knows, and you're not dead. He sees your potential, and he's trying to stop it. God knows everything. Satan is smart. What's the difference in what I just said? God knows everything. Satan is smart. What does that mean? He knows how to get you. He knows how to manipulate you. But he doesn't know everything. He knows, he sees where you're going, he sees the potential that you have, and he's not sure just how God's going to use you. He may think and try to tell you and try to destroy you, try to tell you all kinds of things. God is all powerful, God is all knowing, Satan is just smart. So remember, next time Satan's trying to tell you what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, you tell him, you know what? You may be intelligent. You may be a very fine, well-tuned spiritual being, but you are not all-knowing. My God is. You're not all-powerful. My God is. You're not omniscient. My God is. And my God said, this is not my end. This is my beginning. Praise the Lamb of God. We are getting ready. We're on the launching pad. Praise the Lamb of God. I can't wait till next weekend, the following weekend, the following week. I'm expecting to see people start running the aisle. Praise God. Hope is coming back in the house of God. Amen. So now, there's still life in you. Number two, Satan does not have you yet. And that's a problem. He wants us. He wants you. But if you weren't struggling, that meant he had you. So praise God. I'm glad. I don't like all the struggles that I have to go through in life. I don't like all the things that happen, you know, how things happen and how life gets all changed up in the moment. You're going one direction, next thing you know, you're going in another direction. You know, like yesterday, I was going out with Linda. We were going to go shopping for Sunday school. I hadn't been down the road 1 mile when I get a call about going to the hospital. So I said, Linda, can you turn back around? Linda turns back around. I get in my car. I go to an Uber. Linda, she goes shopping for Sunday school. You know, you never know how life's going to be. But we know who's got it all under control. While I was sitting in the emergency room, I ran into so many people. I got a chance to minister to people. Things were awesome. While I was waiting for God to work on in the back there, I sat up in the front and just I couldn't believe the people that was coming by. God's got a purpose and a time for everything. Remember, Satan is smart. God's all-knowing. All right? Remember that. Just keep that in your head. Satan is smart. He's intelligent. He's awesome. Don't try to match wits with him. Don't try to play chess with him. Definitely don't play checkers with him. But guess what? He don't stand a chance against God. Amen? All right. So now, remember, Satan cannot sneak up on God. All right? So here we go. Here's number three. That was last week. Now we're getting ready to go into this week. Ready? Number three. Here from Ezekiel. Struggle means that God still has need of you. If you weren't going through something, then God wouldn't have a need for you. So y'all say purpose. Purpose. You know, some of the things you think is sent to destroy you, God's using to hone you in. The Mighty Army this morning message says, a sailor never learns how to be a great sailor on the calm sea. God lets you go through problems. God lets you go through struggles to get you ready for what's coming up. Because what's going to most likely happen is when God raises you up, He's going to raise you up to help raise somebody else up. I always heard when you dig a foxhole, dig it big enough for two. You never dig a foxhole big enough for one. You dig it big enough for two. The same way, be ready. When God's doing something in you and through you, better know, look around you. Somebody's being blessed by watching what God is doing in your life through your struggle. So here you go. Like I said, this morning I can see the dry bones coming together. I can hear them clanking together. I can see the flesh coming back on them. I'm expecting anytime I'm telling you to just see something so powerful take place. God still has need of you. He still has need of Edward Christian Church. He still has need of each and every one of us individually and collectively. Don't let the devil tell you anything different. God, he tries to tell you that God doesn't need you anymore. I'm here to tell you right now, God needs us. Praise the Lamb of God. And I'm not going to be an old dry bone. God, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Y'all say, do it, Lord. All right. Number four. I only got two more. Four. Turn to Zechariah chapter 4. If you don't know where it's at, get your table of contents out. It'll be the fastest way to find it. It's in the New Testament, Zechariah chapter 4. I'm playing with you, this Old Testament. I remember one time my Bible professor, we were taking a New Testament survey or something, or taking the Gospels, I can't remember. And he asked me to read from the book of Matthew, and I asked him, was that Old Testament or New Testament? And he said, what kind of grade do you want, David? Zechariah, most of you don't even turn there once I start reading it to you, but I just want you to be there. So if you're marking your Bible, I want you to mark this. And I want you to remember this. Remember this verse, especially now. This is a springboard verse for us at this hour. Y'all say that it is a springboard verse at this hour, meaning that this verse is going to carry, and always all verses carry power. All of God's Word carries power. Isaiah 55:11 says it will not return to him void. But there's sometimes God uses specific words as rhema. He uses a specific word as rhema as when it's spoken, and it's a springboard for something getting ready to happen. And this is our springboard verse. Here it is. Then he answered and spake unto me to rebuild the temple, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, not by might, not by the mighty, mighty men, not by power, not by military, by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, say the Lord of hosts. Number four, God is defending you. Zechariah. Zech. Yes, ma'am. Chapter 4, verse 6. Okay. All right. What it means is God is defending you. Isn't it wonderful to know? You know, it's like this morning. It's so amazing. Sister Dorothy, you've already given this testimony, so because you've given it, I'll go ahead and say it again. You know, she fell down at Walmart a Friday and hurt her leg, and I saw her coming up today and when they were driving up, and Bethany was with me. And I said, Bethany? She said, yes, sir, because I'd already told her to go on back to Sunday school. I said, don't go back there. I need you to go help Sister Dorothy. And so Bethany gets out. Sister Dorothy starts to fall. And there's Bethany in the right place at the right time to keep Sister Dorothy from hurting her leg again. That's right. Yeah, Bethany. Bethany can take care of herself. I can promise you that. Bethany just picked her and pulled her right back up. But what I'm trying to say is, though, see, God was defending Sister Dorothy. Because at the perfect right time, we didn't make it up. I didn't sit in the back of the car and wait for Sister Dorothy to drive up. It was perfect timing. As we're walking up, I got my computer in my hand. I'm walking in, and there is Sister Dorothy pulling up. And when I saw her pulling up, I heard the Spirit tell me, tell Bethany that she needs her. And so I said, Bethany, she needs you. You be there. And then I hear what happened. Again, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Y'all say power. God is defending you. Why do we have to be afraid of the enemy? Why should we have to be afraid of the tactics of the devil? Why should we lay down and play dead? Why should we just lay back and do an armchair job? God is in control. He's called us to stand up. He's putting the flesh back on us. He's building back His army. And I know it seems scary at times, but He said, don't worry, because it's not by your might. It's not by anything you can do. It's by His Spirit. Praise the Lamb of God. God is defending Edward Christian Church. God is defending y'all. Amen. God is in control. And then finally, y'all say finally. I love this one. Let's read it first. Hebrews chapter 12 and 12. Hebrews 12 and 12. Hebrews 12 and 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, It's okay. We can wait. You got it? Okay. Twelve. Okay. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather be healed. All right, I'm gonna read another version of that. So then, brace up and reinvigorate and set right your slackened and weakened and drooping hands, and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering feet. And cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet. Yes, make them safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and the halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather may be cured. Watch this. Here's the final one. Number 5. Struggle is a sign that breakthrough is on the way. Somebody say promise. So you got to remember something. Remember, God is all-knowing and Satan is smart. But Satan's got you. Because Satan can see in the Spirit, because he's in the Spirit. And we have to trust God. And sometimes our antennas may not do as good as he is. And so he gets to see, he's seeing angels fighting his angels. He sees all this stuff going on. And he knows when breakthrough is getting close, because he knows, watch this, because he knows your potential. He knows he's got a problem. You're not going to lay down. He knows God still needs you and you have a purpose. He knows God is defending you and therefore you've got power. So now, he knows when he sees this heaviness of angels getting around you, he knows that breakthrough is on the way. And so here's where he goes to fight. But remember, it's not by my might. It's not by the mighty. It's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So God says, instead of being out of joint, you go ahead and lift up your hands and you trust what I'm getting ready to do, because breakthrough is on the way. That's a promise. I have discovered that usually, you know, there's an old cliche, it's always darkest before the dawn. You know, not necessarily. I think it's darkest around midnight. It's darkest around midnight. At 6 o'clock in the morning, just before the light starts coming up, I don't necessarily think it's darkest before the dawn. I think it's darkest at midnight. But you know what? I can tell you this. It's usually darkest before your breakthrough. If I was Satan, and I saw this accumulation of angels and this stuff happening and all this potential going on, I would do my best to keep you suppressed. And if I saw it getting greater and greater, then what I would do is, although you might not know it, there, and I'm going to talk about this. I'm trying to think of the lady's name. I can't even think of the lady's name, but she was swimming to English Channel. And she's going to be the first woman to swim to English Channel. And as she's swimming to English Channel, she finally tells the boat beside her, it's foggy, it's cold, she's starting to get hypothermia, things are getting bad, she can't see good anymore, she's hurting, and she's trying to get that last wind, and she finally tells her mother that's in the boat, I've got to get in the boat. And her mother said, hold on, go a little bit further. She said, I cannot swim another foot. And so her mother reached over and pulled her in the boat. And when they pulled her in the boat, the fog lifted. And she could see the shoreline. She was in just a matter of yards from the shoreline. But see, she's hurting. She can't see what's going on. She doesn't know the shoreline's coming up, or she would have kept on going. She finally went and done it, and she swam the whole thing. But she didn't swim it this day because she quit because she couldn't see the end in sight. Satan don't want you to see the end in sight. What's getting ready to happen? The exuberance, the wonder, the people being saved, the stuff happening. He doesn't want anybody to see this. He wants to steal hope away. Because if he can steal hope away, then he won. But remember, usually if you're fighting really, really hard right now, that means you're getting ready, you're on the edge of something so great that when you step over into it, it's like Jesus said about the woman in travail. Once she has that baby, she forgets all about that pain. Once you step over to the other side of this pain and this struggle and see what God has got for us. Wow. So awesome. You know, I used to tell DC and Daniel when they were going to college, and of course, DC went to nursing school, and I found out he only wanted to go to be with the nurses, the nursing students. That's all he wanted to be with. He didn't learn anything except for some phone numbers. I said, son, and now that he's got his own business, I tell him this all the time. If you can endure the struggle before you, you can endure it through God. Something so special is waiting on the other side. I want you to think of something. Many times what we go through, God decides if we go through it. But how we go through it, we decide. Don't do that. He decides what we go through to make us stronger, to help us, to lift us up, to strengthen us. But we decide how we go through it. I remember when I first went back, I left engineering and I got pulled back into the warehouse because they had this great big project coming with all these animated machines and all these, something called unit load formers and robotics. And so the guy in charge of the warehouse, when I left the warehouse to go to engineering, he said, I need you back. And I said, well, I don't really want to come back. And so my boss man in engineering said, he's not going back. And so somebody had more clout than the other and pulled me back. And he said, well, we're not going to start up with all this stuff for another month or so. So what we want you to do is just reacquaint yourself with every day going on, and your regular activities of fixing stuff in the warehouse. I said, all right. The very first shift I went back to, I've been on day shift. The very first shift I went to was on third shift. When I went on third shift, I didn't fix anything. They stuck me on that old unit load former. It required three people to operate it. And I was on it by myself, trying to reacquaint myself with it. Plus, I was trying to fix it at the same time when it broke down. And I remember that first week, I let my temper get the best of me. And I remember these cases of Pampers and the tins, and I was up about three stories in the air. I remember getting mad and taking these things and just slamming them down to the floor. And I was so mad. It was so hard. They actually were trying to, I reckon they were trying to be funny, sticking me out there by myself, knowing that one person couldn't do it. And after about the fourth day, my boss man walked beside me, and he was the one that caused me. He was the greatest person, the greatest witness that caused me to give in to the Lord. He looked at me and he said, he looked at me as I was walking out and he said, you know what? You're never going to win a soul to the Lord the way you're doing. And I said, I don't care. I'm mad. And he said, you do. And as I walked out, I thought what he said. And I went home and I got on my knees and I prayed. And I said, God, I've blown this week. I had a perfect opportunity to show. And I hadn't been a Christian that long. Here's a perfect opportunity for me to show them that I would. As a matter of fact, the first thing they said was when I came back to the warehouse, they said, we heard you're a Christian now. As I was walking out to the floor, I said, yep, I'm a Christian now. They said, we're going to see how much of a Christian you are. That's the first thing they told me. And then I started acting like that. After about the fourth day, my boss man told me, he said, you've ruined your witness out here, man. Forget it. I went to my knees. I said, God, please help me. I'm letting the devil get the best of me here. This struggle is not that hard. I can do this with your help. And when I came back in, I had a whole different attitude. Same struggle, a different attitude. Still a young Christian, still young. I mean, I was really young, in my early 20s. But I remember the change that took place. Because once the change took place, all of a sudden, although the struggle was hard, it was still there. I handled it differently. And so it made the struggle lighter. And they poured more on. And I smiled. And you know what they quit doing? They quit. Pretty soon, I was in training with all this new equipment. I was pulled away from all that. I was over here in electronics and in computers. But I'll never forget that month and how God showed me, I'm not going to take the struggle away from you because that's developing you. I want you to change your attitude about the struggle. And when I changed my attitude, I'm telling you, man, oh man, did things change. Yeah, it was a three-man job. I went home and prayed through. After about a week, I went in and prayed through. And you know what? Things just started changing. Because once your attitude is in the right order, how you handle what you're going through changes. Again, the struggle didn't weaken. The struggle got stronger. But I got stronger along with it. And instead of getting mad and slinging stuff, I just laughed, praised God, sang praises unto God, and I watched God change me. And once he changed me, then he changed the struggle. I want him to change the struggle. And he said, no, I want to change you. Then I'll change the struggle. And later on, again, that stuff never bothered me again because I learned. God's trying to change me through the struggle, and once he changes me through the struggle, then he'll change the struggle. Breakthrough is on the way. It actually caused me to be lifted up into a different realm of Christianity, a different realm of God, once I let him change me. Now tonight, I don't know what your struggles are, but I know everybody's got one. I can tell you this, though. If it's getting hard, hang on. Because the harder it gets, the closer you are to the end of it. Thank God for it. Because I can tell you what's going to happen. Once you get through this struggle, I'm going to be really encouraging that. Once you get through this struggle and step to your next level, new level, new devil. Here's the problem. Here's where we mess up. We go to a new level with a new devil, but we never defeated the old devil at the other level. And so now we're in a bind because we're trying to fight two battles at one time. Let God change you, then he'll change the struggle. Get to the next one and watch what God will do. Amen. Let us pray. You can come here if you want to or stay in your seat. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're more than enough. You've got more than we'll ever need, Lord. Father, I know Satan is smart. He's so intelligent. He's spiritual. The Bible says he's your greatest creation as far as the angels go. Father, but he's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. I ask you right now, Father, to help us to realize that and to know that God's got big plans for us. He's raising up an army. And I want to be in that army. I know struggle is here, but struggle is a sign that everything's going in a good direction. Father, I ask you, Lord, to help us. Just like I had to learn. Because when I left that warehouse to go into engineering the first time, I was a rough dude, and you saved me and changed me. And when I come back, they wanted to see just what you had done. And I have to admit, I blew it for the first week or so. But after I had to come to Jesus meeting with you, things changed. Lord, help us realize our struggles are not sent to destroy us. They're sent to buff us up to be ready for what's coming. If all you ever have is smooth sailing, you'll never be an expert sailor. It's in my troubles that I've always grown. It's in my struggles that I've grown. And I thank you for that, Lord. You know what's going on. You got it all covered. In the name of Jesus, we give this night to you. And Lord, we know, God, you're in control. There's no doubt. We don't even have to wonder. You're in control. You always have been. You always will be. And I ask you right now, Lord, to touch. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Going back Tuesday night, we're talking about communication. We're getting back on board again. We're talking about communication. And if we're going to grow and we're going to be that mighty army, we got to know how to communicate.